there's a number of really important centenaries coming up, and this was a time in 1917 that was some of the most horrific fighting of the First World War occurred. It's a really good opportunity to remember what these men sacrificed 100 years on.
It's said that one in five Australians who died during the Great War actually passed away in this battle.
That's very true. It was just a really horrific time, and this series of battles that took place near the town of Ypres in Belgium was just very intense fighting and very horrific fighting under some atrocious weather conditions. So a really difficult battle and a really horrific experience for the men who fought through it.
It said that it was the Battle of the Mud. The war has been going on there for a while, and there were craters from the bombings, and the landscape had been completely destroyed, and people were fighting in mud. Even sometimes when it was raining, bodies from the previous battles would be unearthed because it was just the soil was completely damaged. And yeah, tell us about the conditions.
Well, the opening stages of the battle were actually, the weather was relatively dry, and those stages were quite successful. But by the time they got to October, it started to rain, and that turned, as you say, the battlefield was all churned up, and it turned it into an absolute quagmire. And so the men were forced to go in and fight in these terrible conditions where there was mud all over the battlefield, shells from the artillery wouldn't explode in the soft ground, and men who were wounded would often drown in the mud. It was so horrific. Imagine trying to fight through those conditions. It's just unimaginable what these men had to go through. And so it's not surprising that after slogging away for several days against the village of Passchendaele, they gave up and were forced to retreat. So we should remember it as one of the most horrific battles that the Australians were involved in during the First World War.
There were fighters from Canada, from New Zealand, from other parts of the world. Some of them didn't know what the conditions would be, and yet the generals keep just pushing and pushing and pushing for sometimes very little gain.
Exactly. I mean, it was a very confused time. It was a very difficult time. The First World War was a strange encounter between modern weaponry and modern tactics that we still use today, but quite an old mindset about how the war would be fought. So when those two things came together, it meant that casualties were going to be very, very high, and they certainly were, particularly in this battle at Passchendaele.
You had Canadians and Australians fighting in this battle. There was even a Canadian movie made about this particular battle. Were there any Indigenous components in the troops from Australia taking part in this particular battle?
There certainly were, and the stories of Indigenous soldiers, particularly in the First World War, are absolutely fascinating, because it would be more than half a century before Indigenous people would even be recognised as citizens of Australia, and yet they were off fighting for king and country in the First World War. So many hundreds of Indigenous soldiers, perhaps thousands of Indigenous soldiers, joined up and went off to fight. It's difficult to track exactly how many there were, because they weren't allowed to enlist if they were Indigenous. Therefore, when they enlisted, they had to cover up the fact that they actually were Indigenous. So the records are very poor relating to how many soldiers there were. But we know that throughout this battle, there were many hundreds of Indigenous soldiers who were serving with the Australian forces. One of the wonderful stories that comes from that is how well these men did in the army, that in spite of the fact that back in Australia they were considered second-class citizens, when they joined the army, they were just one of the men, and they were treated very, very well in the army, and a lot of them did quite well. Unfortunately, it wasn't the same when they got home. When they got home, they weren't recognised for their service, and it took many decades before these men were recognised. It's very interesting, the men that came from all over the world to participate, and as you say, from Canada and from the French colonies, it really was a world war.
Another thing that's very particular to this war, it's one of the first time that chemical weapons were used.
That's right. This was on the Western Front in this area 2 years before the Battle of Passchendaele back in 1915. The Germans used gas for the first time, poison gas, on the troops in the opposing trenches. So again, we struggle today to understand the horror of what went on during this war. They had a situation where both sides were dug in trench lines facing each other, and they decided that the best way to get them out, to dislodge them from these trenches, was to saturate the air in poison gas. It's just really beyond belief. I mean, war is always a terrible business. There's nothing glorious about war. It's quite awful in most things that we learn about it. But I think the fighting in this area during the First World War was particularly bad, and poison gas is just one of the examples of really how terrible men can be to each other.
The casualties just kept mounting and mounting. Although the opening phases of the battle were a success, by October by autumn, it was just a nightmare.
That's right. And the whole point of the battle was to capture the village of Passchendaele, which stood on high ground overlooking the town of Ypres. And the village eventually was captured by Canadian troops, but it took them another 6 weeks after the Australians had tried to attack and had failed. And the Canadians lost many more tens of thousands of men. So all up, we lost more than 300,000 men. This is between all the British and Empire and Commonwealth troops. We lost more than 300,000 men in this battle to try and capture the village of Passchendaele. So it really was horrific, and the numbers are absolutely staggering. We just can't comprehend them. And that's why when you go over there today, you just see these memorials with literally tens of thousands of names of missing men who were never found after they were killed in the battle, and cemeteries with thousands of graves. It's a really horrific chapter of history, but a very rewarding aspect to go over there and see these sites for yourself.
You're specialised on this battlefield. Are there any records where one can go and find more detailed information?
We have excellent records in Australia. We are very fortunate that that the Australian War Memorial and the National Archives do a great job of recording our history. Someone who wants to learn more about it, and if you had a family member, for example, who served or who died, there are a lot of great records that you can look at, and most of them are online. So from the comfort of your home, you can sit there and discover a huge amount about your family history. But the service records of every soldier who served during the First World War have been fully digitised and are available to download on the National Archives website. So that's the most important place to go if you want to learn about a particular soldier and what he did. You can download his full service record, which is sometimes dozens of pages, and you can see copies of it online and download it for every soldier. It's really remarkable that the National Archives have done that, and it's something we should be very grateful for.
At a certain stage, when the Germans counterattacked, the French left the battlefield, and then you had the Canadians and the British coming in trying to regain that ground. Can you tell us about that specific part of the fighting?
There was a lot of handing over of troops, and the attack at Passchendaele was mostly a British action. French troops had fought in this area throughout the entire war. I mean, French troops were the first people to fight in this area against the Germans way back in 1914. So the French, it's interesting, I think we tend to give the French a difficult time about the First World War because of the difficulties they had during the Second World War. There's a perception that the French didn't fight very well during the Second World War, and so we tend to tar them with that brush universally. But that's very unfair. The French made the greatest contribution to the First World War on the Western Front. They lost the most men killed. They fought in the most areas on the Western Front entirely. And we absolutely would not have come close to stopping the Germans in the First World War if not for the incredible contribution of the French. So the French didn't play a very big role in Passchendaele. It was mostly a British and Commonwealth offensive, but the French played a huge role in battles all up and down the front line.
And one has to remember that Ypres is just 50 kilometres from Dunkirk, which is in the news again with the new movie being released in the last few weeks. And Dunkirk being on the coastline, it was a strategic battle. It was trying to prevent the Germans from having a very strong hold on the coastlines and actually threaten Britain on the other side of the channel.
That's right. The town of Ypres is not far from the coastline in Belgium. And the concern during the First World War was that the Germans would get to the coast and then they would threaten the entire coastline of France and Belgium. And that's, of course, exactly what we saw in the Second World War with Dunkirk. That was exactly the same thing, that once the Germans reached the coastline, they really had free rein to dominate that area of France and even threaten England. What we saw in the Second World War with Dunkirk was the fear that the Allies had in the First World War, which led to the Battle of Passchendaele. So you're absolutely right.